Welcome to the Grace Church Parenting Podcast, where we believe that when parents are healthy, everyone wins. My name is Jocelyn Olminski, and I will be your host today. And we have Mark Steller, who is the co-host for these conversations. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, actually.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're recording this in the middle of a game day family event, right?
Yes, literally in the middle of game day, family event right now, which is awesome, though. Yeah. We're right in the heart of it.
Awesome. Yeah. Today we have Ellen Rice on our podcast, and Ellen has been a dietitian for over 10 years, and just getting to know her for a little bit, she has so much helpful insight on food and health and how to have healthy relationships with our bodies. And so I think it will be so practical and relevant for our parents listening. And I know a lot of our parents might not know you, Ellen, and so I would just love it if you started off just sharing what originally drew you to become a dietitian. And why you decided to make that your career.
Yeah, of course. So thanks for having me. This has been a really great opportunity. Yeah, I've been a dietitian first. I always kind of knew that to do something in healthcare and do something that allowed me to help other people. Ask my mom, she'll tell you stories about how I was always been to that, even as a young age. And as I was studying different stuff, food just always seem kind of like that centralized focus around everything that I studied related to health. If we can fuel our bodies the right way, we can continue to and grow. And as I'm sure you're both aware, there's so much information out there about food. It's coming at us from angles everywhere all the time. So there's just this constant debate about how do I do it correctly? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing for myself, for my kids? So my really drive and motivation towards that has been, how can I help other people make those choices and feel more comfortable with it and help them like live so many of those food decisions every day? And it can be stressful. So anything that I can do to kind of alleviate that stress. And then kind of on the flip side, as it relates to our athletes as well, a lot of my profession has also been an athletic. So I spent decade, about 8 or 9 years, professional and collegiate sports. So very grateful to have that opportunity. And I've been able to help young kids that have the dream of playing sports at a high level kind of achieve that and grow that as well. And kind of teaching them along their journey how to take care of their bodies on and off the field, which has been really cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. I think something you said about how we all make decisions about food, we all eat, like there's a commonality with that. And there is a way to do that healthfully. And there's a way to do that, like that's not healthy. And so bringing awareness to that. And I think it's, there's so much that it entails and it involves, and to be able to help kind of work, you know, and walk people through that, I'm sure has been so helpful. And I'm sure you've learned a lot through that process and probably have dealt with a lot of different situations of people. And even for our parents, I'm sure that our parents have a hard time when it comes to their kids. And I'm sure picky eating is something that they have to like wrestle with and figure out with their kids. And so I don't know, like if you would have any advice for parents that are kind of dealing with picky eating with their kids, and even have you seen like mistakes, even though they've like tried to have their best intention? What do you think could help, and have you seen that show up?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Picky eating can be a really difficult thing to deal with. And the first thing I'm going to say is don't feel like you're doing it wrong. There's not a wrong way and a right way. Everyone has different likes and different dislikes. Everyone has different environments. The way we eat is incorporated so strongly into who we are as people. It is family oriented. It is social. It is environmental. It is emotional. It's all these different things. And a lot of time, picky eating and or eating habits can be picked up based on those types of things. And I think it's just really important to remember to continue to get exposures to different things. If you feel like you or your child are in a rut with what you're having to eat or what they're being exposed to, things like that, try something new. Try something new together. Make it an experiment. make something new together, visit a new restaurant together, things like that. And I think it's always important too to let your kids know that it's okay if they don't like it, you know? Exploring and experimenting with different things can be scary, right? Just like as we learn new things about our faith, sometimes it can be a little scary to dive into those and to like feel something that we haven't felt before. And it's the same way with food. Trying something new can be a little difficult and a little trying. I also work in pediatrics, which I didn't mention before. So I work with infants and toddlers too. And we see a lot of picky eating. And we're having to tell parents all the time when babies are introduced to a food, it takes them over 40 different times of trying that food for it to kind of register in their system and for them to be able to gain a sense of like or dislike, right? So it's all these different things. And just because you've tried it once doesn't mean you can try it again. Pairing it with something that they like, sometimes we'll get them to try something new. Depending on your kid, I don't always recommend hiding foods in other things because that can seem a little sneaky, but sometimes in a sauce or things like that, like that's the way we get kids to eat additional vegetables. So there's a lot of different ways to address that, but I think the biggest takeaway that I would say for parents is don't feel like you're doing anything wrong.
My son was 4 years old. We were having a conversation at the dinner table, and he had said, "Dad, you tell us to try everything once before we say no. And so shouldn't you try church?" So actually, this is super close to me. I actually tried church that weekend because my son used my own advice towards me at that meal. And I ended up coming to church that weekend. And kind of here I am now working for Grace. But I love to share that. It's extra important to me because I love that idea of kind of working through it and conversing and the idea of trying everything once before you say no. So.
Yeah, I love that answer. And I think parents can feel so overwhelmed with like, what is the right way? And what, and am I doing it wrong? But like you bringing clarity of like, there isn't necessarily a right or wrong way, but giving exposure, being able to reintroduce food multiple times. Do you have any recommended like pantry staples or like on the go snacks? I think maybe for parents that are, you know, might be, again, overwhelmed with all the options and trying to get in all the food groups, what would you suggest? Do you have any recommended, like, pantry staples or, like, on-the-go snacks? I think maybe for parents that are, you know, might be, again, overwhelmed with all the options and trying to get in all the food groups, what would you suggest?
Yeah, the simplest way to break that down, at least for me, for snacks, I say always aim for two. So two different macronutrients. We have our carbs, our proteins, and our fats. So typically a snack food is going to be some type of carbohydrate, which is going to be a fruit, cracker, chips, popcorn, something along those lines. And those are always great snacks. Carbs are going to be kind of our instant energy for things. So they're the first thing that our body uses to produce energy. So pre-practice, having those carbs, having some fruit snacks, like some crackers, some goldfish, pretzels, something like that. Now, if you're looking for a snack that's going to stick a little bit longer with you, then you're going to add that second option, which is a protein or a fat. So that's where apples or bananas with peanut butter is going to come in handy. Peanut butter crackers, you already have a 2-in-1 built in with that. Peanut butter and jelly, also a 2-in-1 already built in. Adding a cheese stick or beef jerky to your goldfish. Those kinds of things are going to be those two snacks or those two different items that can help you stay full and also give you like a good carbohydrate option as you're going into a practice or something like that, where you don't want to have anything too heavy, but you do want to make sure it's going to stick with you for the next hour or two. And then I would say pantry staples. Those kinds of things for me are things that I can rely on for dinners, right? So we're probably running around. We have a lot of things to do. We obviously have practices to get to. We have games, things like that. And as parents, you're still wondering in the back of your head, and someone's probably still always asking you, what's for dinner, right? Mm-hmm. So I always like to keep some things on hand. I kind of call it like a little semi homemade type of thing. Whenever you're able to use fresh, that's fantastic. But sometimes you don't get a chance to thaw out the meat, or you've run out of fresh vegetables, or they've gone bad and the lettuce has been sitting in the fridge for like a week. I'm guilty. Can't say from experience. But having frozen things is going to be probably my number one. Anytime you can do a mixed bag of like frozen vegetables, like anything like that. I got frozen fried rice in my fridge right now. That was a pretty cool one that I found the other day. So frozen things are always going to be like really comparably fresh to those things that you have in your fridge, but they're going to be really easy to unthaw and add to something as well. And then in the pantry, things like rice, pasta, potatoes, things that you can make pretty quickly on the stove, even like a minute rice, something like that. You can take that minute rice and cook some meatballs, throw some teriyaki sauce on it and a bag of frozen vegetables, and you've got some teriyaki meatballs with rice and vegetables, right? Frozen meatballs are another staple at my house. So adding that to pasta and like tomato sauce, right? Maybe you throw a couple of extra veggies on it, something like that with you. Anything that you can use in like one of those components of that meal is going to be quick and easy to unthaw and snap together. And then maybe you can spend some time on some other components of it. But having something readily available is going to make you feel a lot better when you don't have something on hand or the time to sit down and make a full meal, because those things do take time. And I think we always need to give ourselves a little bit of grace when it comes to that too, that every meal isn't going to be perfect. Every meal doesn't have to be perfect. Every meal just has to fuel our body for the purpose that we want it to.
How does, when you think about that, then on like, what about the balance of eating out, like you just said? So you got kids on the go. We're talking about the snacks. We're talking about cooking. So like we know, like you said, fresh is always good, but like there's a struggle with these parents. So like maybe what would be your balance level to explain to them how to handle kind of the go and running around that they may be doing with their kids?
Yeah, absolutely. I always kind of presented it to my athletes as, because we hear so much that verbiage around like good and bad foods, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like there's kind of that guilt associated with like eating out or fast food or something like that, because that's quote unquote like a bad option for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I like to reframe that. And I sit down with a lot of my athletes and I ended up asking them like, what's the purpose behind what we're eating? Right? Why are we eating what we're eating? Is it so that we can get something into our bodies and we have energy for practice? Is it to recover from a practice? Is it because we're out with friends and we're celebrating something? Like, is it fun? Right? So the typical categories that all divide things into is kind of like performance and fun or celebration. And then kind of like asking yourselves, typically the balance that you're looking for like that is kind of like a 70-30 80-20, if you're going to put some numbers behind it. But I always say like kind of rethinking what that purpose is, right? Let's say it's late, you're coming home from practice, you know there's nothing at the house, so we're going to go through the drive-thru and get something. Is that a fun meal or is it a performance meal, right? For me, that's a performance meal because you're refueling after a practice. You know, so kind of like, and that's the option. That's what's available to us at that time. You know, and are we able to do that once or twice a month for after practices versus every single time after practices? Great. That's an improvement. Are we able to get something that maybe isn't a fried food? So are we going to Chipotle or Subway or something like that versus getting like a burger and fries, which nothing against a burger and fries, right? That's got some carbs. It's got some protein. It can be a recovery meal too. But kind of gauging where you're at and then gauging what's that next step that you can take in order to create that balance in your life. Because everyone's balance with that is going to be completely different. It might be going from semi-homemade to organic everything, right? But that's not everybody's goal. Sometimes it goes from going out to eat 5 nights out of a week to going out to eat 3 nights out of the week.
Yeah, I think that's super helpful, Ellen. And I think oftentimes maybe parents feel bad about going out to eat or like having to pick up something on the go, but even understanding like your family needs to be fed. And so like that is the best thing for your family, regardless of it's not homemade, it's not fresh. Like you can pick the better options of fast food, but like you are still feeding your family. And that is something like that's what is to be prioritized. And so sometimes you're in situations that like that's just the option that you have to make, and that's okay.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Could you talk more about even just like helpful language? You said that parents kind of should avoid using labeling food as like good or bad. Like how would you encourage parents to talk about food to their kids?
Yeah, definitely. Again, kind of circling back into how food is such an integral part of our lives, right? Sitting down and having that conversation with them, and it might sound like a silly question, but being like, why do you like to eat? Like, why are you eating that? Like, what are you eating for? Like, what are your goals from eating this? Like, why is this your favorite food? What do you like so much about it? Do you know what that does for your body? And like in a positive sense, right? Like it helps you grow. It gives you energy, like those kinds of components for things. And I think just sitting down and talking about it as a family and kind of discussing like what that meaning is behind food, not only for even a parent or a kid themselves, but like for your family unit as well, right? How do you guys see food as a family unit? Do you use food as part of tradition? Are there certain things that you make because like your family makes them, right? Do you see it as part of a celebration? Do you have certain things that you always get for someone's birthday or an anniversary or Christmas or something like that, right? And kind of having that conversation about why we eat, like in the things that we celebrate with eating, and then how eating makes us feel. And I think that I can kind of dig down to that like deeper purpose. And depending on the age of your kid too, like maybe what social media is telling them, right? Or their friends are telling them. And you might hear them say something like, where did they get that? I don't know why they think that about food, pro or con, or how do they even know what a carbohydrate is? I've never taught them that. And by having those conversations, I feel like you can dig in and get a little bit more about what that language looks like. And they might even repeating back like language that they've heard, you know, whether it's around the house again, or like social media, school, things like that. Because again, there's so many things out there. There's so many videos, TikTok, news, like, oh my goodness, it's just completely, the new food pyramid, it's completely overwhelming with things that we should and shouldn't do. But I think the first path to that is having an open dialogue and being able to discuss. And you might even learn something as a parent, right? Be like, wow, I didn't even know that that was something that you liked. Or if that's your favorite food, like maybe we can find a recipe and cook that together. You know, we talked a little bit about like the pantry staples and kind of preparations for dinners and things like that. Like, can we sit down as a family and come up with like a meal plan? And maybe it's not like an every single night kind of thing, but are your kids old enough to cook? Is it something that they want to do, right? Like, can you safely let them loose in the kitchen and have them prepare something for you? Or is it something that you can do together and you can teach them cutting skills, like cooking skills, things of that nature, and kind of have that open dialogue and that discussion? Because I think kind of like finding that purpose behind food, seeing what kind of language that you or your child see around food. And I hate to say it, but adults are pretty guilty sometimes too of the good and bad nature in food. We all grew up with something not being good for us, right? Like we all did. And a lot of times as adults too, maybe we don't get the activity that we used to and things like that. So we feel guilty. We feel like we shouldn't eat something. So we talk about it in a sense of having to earn it or feeling guilty about eating a certain thing. And like it or not, our kids will listen to that, right? And depending on how that like rubs off on them, that's something that we can correct ourselves as adults too, is even rethinking how we see food and how we talk to food. Like, are we fueling our bodies the right way as well? Like, what's the outcome that we want from the food that we're putting in? And then that radiates onto our kids as well.
I loved hearing the language. Ellen, I think what's standing out is this idea of like being proactive instead of reactive with it. So like you said, like understanding, you know, why food is important in our family or how we view it or how it fits into the rhythm, you know, of our lives and our schedules. So I think that really stands out to me. I think some of the hard or the good, bad food stuff, like you're saying, that people kind of like wrestle with or beat themselves up about is because we're often thinking of it afterwards. So I really like that, like, this isn't about, hey, eat whatever you want, whenever you want, and that's okay because life's busy, because that's not taking care of our tent. But it's also about like being realistic, like, hey, this is a celebration. You're doing a great job and we won the tournament and we all went out. And so we're not going to, you know, we're not going to get caught up in that. So I love the idea of kind of like, not labeling, but like being proactive and thinking about where we're going, why we're doing it, and kind of what food means to our family. Does that sound good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know that maybe sometimes when we use language about food, that there's some real concerns, and whether it's like a food allergy or just like you're an intolerance to something. Mark, do you want to speak into that? I know you have some experience with having to wrestle through you know, not being able to have certain foods.
Yeah, I didn't discover till later in life that I actually had a good chunk of intolerances. So no real allergies, but maybe as some people only know of it. But for me, they're intolerances. But I have a lot, like gluten, dairy, nuts, nightshades, all sorts of crazy things. But it does lead to me having to think a lot about food, but I have learned a bunch in the process. You kind of have to. And so, yeah, it's a real thing. I think we all know this could be an even longer side podcast probably, but we know that it's maybe even more difficult nowadays to avoid some of those things I just rattled off than maybe it was, you know, years ago. And so, yeah, going through life, I used to travel a bunch for work too. So that made it extra hard to try and avoid those things. So I know how stressful it can kind of be sometimes when we're trying to find the right things. And I know a lot of the families, parents listening to this right now are dealing with it. And again, maybe they didn't have to deal with it as kids and now we're seeing it pop up because of food. But I know that's just being gluten-free. I know the challenges as other parents out there, and even the snacks that we try and have at game day and Grace and all the things, like it's a real thing.
Yeah, I think definitely. Too, that when it comes to like food, like verbiage as well, like that good and bad talking about, I think it's okay to say like bad for me in the sense of like your general health, mm-hmm. right? So like if you're allergic yep. to peanut butter or to nuts, peanut butter is bad for you. That's an okay thing to say. You can use it in that sense. And I think that comes down to like talking about that purpose that food has for our bodies, but for certain foods hurt their bodies. And that's mm-hmm. that's just the reality, right? So in a sense, that food is not good for my body, right? And I think that's a different way to say it versus like that food is bad or that food is bad for me. But like that food's bad for my body. That food is not helping me grow or feel good or thrive. And I mean, that's a difficult thing to navigate as a parent, because like you said, there's so many of those like little intolerances that are popping up that can become so mm-hmm. significant like later on in life. And it's kind of right around this age where their kids are starting to give feedback on how they feel about certain foods. And we're kind of diving into, is this something that they're influenced about? Like they shouldn't eat mm-hmm. bread. It makes them bloat or something, right? Versus like really making me feel really uncomfortable and I don't like this. And I think that kind of circles back to that open dialogue language about food in general, being able to talk about how our bodies feel when we eat it and like what's going on the inside as well.
I love that. Because if you're catching on and you're hanging with your friends and you're, you know, like my friend Johnny is gluten-free, and so like you think like, oh, that's got to be the right way to go. And it's good to just have dialogue, because like you said, I wish I could eat good, clean, normal bread. It's not bad for you. It's bad for me because I have inflammation, but it's not bad maybe for my friend, and vice versa. Gluten-free is not always the answer, right? Like it's the buzz, and there are some ways it can be good, but there's plenty of bad things for you that are gluten-free, to go back to the term, right? Like it doesn't just solve everything. So it requires understanding our own bodies and what it reacts to, what it enjoys, and what it kind of fuels off of. So I love that.
Yeah, and Ellen, I think even kids today were talking about language and how we talk about food. And I think that oftentimes, like, I don't think we understand there's so much contributing to even how our, like, kids feel about their bodies, whether it's, you know, what is being said at the dinner table or what they are hearing in the lunchroom. And I think even what they see on social media and any TV or any type of media that they're watching and consuming, like thoughts of comparison or even I think leading to unhealthy, maybe disordered eating patterns, just to, like, you know, look like their best friend or look like somebody that's like on the show and or look like whatever's working with the influencer. Like, how would you, what are some early signs of maybe for parents to look out for when it comes to that, like, unhealthy, disordered eating patterns? What have you seen in that, just for our parents to be aware of? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. This is one of those topics that I definitely approach with a little bit of caution. And one of the things that we kind of talked a little bit before we recorded as well. So I reached out to a eating disorder specialist, kind of got some information from her on this. So I just want to throw that out there for parents, that there are people out there that deal with this at a high level, like professionally as well. And I can kind of circle back into resources like that as well. But some early signs that you might be seeing in your kid if you're worried about disordered thoughts or disordered eating is usually kind of circles around critical comments of themselves. Are they commenting a lot that they or they're fat, or that they don't like certain things about their physical appearance? Especially making social comparisons to others, or like people in social media, influencers, people in the movies, show, things like that, unrealistic comparisons, especially. Are they avoiding activities, things like swimming, changing for gym class, are those kinds of things bring up discomfort or avoidance? Wearing really baggy clothes sometimes be a sign that they're trying to hide any changes or weight loss or things like that that's going on. Sudden shifts in their eating habits. So going from really liking a good variety of things to all of a sudden only eating one or two things, or heightened anxiety around how they look, or eating with a group, eating with a family, things of that nature. And especially as it comes to visiting your pediatrician, things like that, if you see dramatic shifts in their growth charts, that's usually an indicator that we look for in pediatrics, on the body just not getting enough energy. So their growth chart is going to kind of show a shift in that. And I will say, if you have genuine concern of this, to bring it up to your pediatrician and kind of ask them with appropriate referrals on that, because they're a lot of specialists and things like that that they can send you to see. It can be a difficult one to have yourself as a parent as well.
Yeah. Would you suggest any other ways that parents can help? So I think especially like taking it to a primary care doctor and expressing concern, if and get referral to maybe those specialists to kind of give best practices and kind of set up how to deal with that. What would be some of the other ways that even parents, like in the home or as they're interacting with their kid, what should they be doing?
Yeah, some things that parents can say or do at home to help if they have concerns with things like that. And it kind of circles back to what we were talking about before, is kind of evaluating that self-talk. And making sure that they're modeling like good self-talk well, not only as it comes to but about themselves as individuals, right? Like just generally positive self-talk, culture, if we can. So avoid kind of giving into that like key language that, you know, diet culture uses to say that we have to have clean foods or like, you know, all those types of things. Again, just focusing on the fact we are having a nourishing meal for our bodies function versus like looks, right? So, you know, you did really well at practice. Glad you had so much energy today to be able to do that. Like those kinds of things versus a physical appearance or how someone is looking for something. Yep. Promote balanced eating, again, that kind of thing. But we need some carbs. We need some energy for this. Limiting social media exposure, which I know can be difficult because it's out there. It's around all the time. Even if you aren't, you might be seeing it in other places too. And it can lead to, again, those comparisons, that view of unrealistic lifestyles, body images, things like that. And I would say above all, like talking about it, again, like encouraging non-judgmental talk. So actually, if you have kids that are going through puberty, that's just awkward. And we'll just say it, right? And everyone does it at a different times. It makes us uncomfortable about our bodies. But the more that we can normalize talking about that and kind of normalize the fact that not everyone at the same time, right? Focus is healthy growth. You know, having good bones, like having a good solid practice, like those kinds of, that's our goal. It's not to be as tall as Johnny is, right? It's to be able to like get through practice and continue to grow and improve in the areas.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I know even for me, as I get the chance to work with students, that this is just helpful for me to be aware of, and hopefully our parents as they're interacting with their kids. Even just like a couple weeks ago, I was having a conversation with a student who just felt like terrible about themselves because of the way that they looked and not, you know, being this certain image that they wanted to be like, and looking at themselves in the mirror and just like hating themselves and just feeling so embarrassed and so ashamed, but having to keep up this like, I need to be beautiful and I need people to notice me and I need to be attractive. And I mean, it is exhausting for kids to kind of be in that. And especially like if that is just, you know, what's being consumed and what's in front of them all the time. And I think that this is, yeah, something that's so helpful. And we need to like help our kids and help those that we're interacting with and around. How do we healthily view food in our bodies that God has created, and in a way that we can glorify God in that? And so to know that God made our bodies with basic needs, and those aren't to be, you know, avoided or neglected. Like God wants us to eat when we're hungry. God wants us to drink water when we're thirsty. Like God wants us to go to bed and when we're tired. Like those are like basic human things. And even having to like interact with students, like reminding them that like it is more than like the outward appearance. It's more than just even how you view yourself and how others view you, but like how does God view you? And knowing that matters way more. So I'm so excited for, you know, our parents to listen to this. I was wondering if there'd be anything that you'd want to encourage our game day families with as we kind of wrap up this conversation.
Yeah, I just think it's so cool that things like this and to tune into, you know, the experience we all know and love as Christians as well, right? Like you were saying, God gave us these bodies to love and grow. And I just think all of that ties so deeply into the food that we eat. And I just think of the things that we nourish our souls with, as well as our stomachs, right? Like we are what we eat is kind of a common thing. And I think that we all feel that way about how we consume like God's word as well. How that becomes a part of our, so that we're enveloped in that. And the more we read about that or are surrounded in community, that gives us that kind of like faith and love and trust, not only each other in a positive environment, but also, you know, in the people around us. And that gives us like that inner confidence as well to just continue to keep growing and to keep putting the best things in our body, in our stomach, hearts, and our minds, like all those kinds of things, in order to live the best life, the most positive life that we can, and feel comfortable in the skin of us. And I think like that is kind of like the ultimate goal for me in terms of being able to help people fuel themselves and to feel that kind of comfort.
Yeah, and I always think about too, like the verse in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And just trying to glorify God in our practices and our eating habits and even how we view ourselves in the mirror is all really important. And it's so connected, like you're saying, to our relationship with God. And so, yeah, thank you so much, Ellen. And even just things that we talked about, we know that we only got the chance to scratch the surface on some of these really important topics, and know that we could probably have a lot more podcasts to dive deeper into some of these subjects. And so for those of you listening, if this connected with you at all, if it brought up any more questions, like we'd love to hear from you and hopefully do another podcast to address what those are and talk more about it. But yeah, I think what Ellen is saying, like if you have genuine concern, like even if your kid is going through just struggling with a disordered eating habit, like to talk to someone, talk to a specialist, bring it up to your doctor. You just be in a community with people that you can talk about these kinds of things with, because like we can't do this alone. And we need to also be able to understand that maybe other people are going through the same thing with their kids and trying to navigate it as well. And so
I got to do one last comment there too, Jocelyn. You said,
yeah,
like part of this has come down to communication. I'm felt really convicted with this today, whether it's being proactive about the conversations, part of it's just this communication within the family. So I do encourage, there's so many good tools out there to just generate conversation as a family. And so I think in the times of phones and technology and crazy schedules, like it's easy to miss that. And then we finally do sit down to dinner together and kind of like, now what? So I encourage, again, talking to a lot of game day families, hopefully listening to this, like that's why we have these resources. We've got links to it. Like there's awesome just conversation starters for the dinner table. Those are how you can sometimes bring some of these conversations, I think, out when it's like, how do I even know where my kid's coming from? Really, really encourage to find ways to keep that communication open, which can sometimes be harder than ever. Right now for our kids. So just wanted to say that.
If you have any questions, want to talk more about something specific, what you can do is just go to bath.gracechurches.org/podcasts and you can submit those there. We'd love to address them. But yeah, so thanks so much, Ellen, for being on this podcast, and hopefully excited about our conversations in the future. Thanks so much for checking out and listening to the Grace Church Parenting Podcast. We hope that this has been a helpful resource to you in the stage of parenting that you're in. Be sure to check out more episodes as we release them, and we'll see you next time.